and welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Good morning, it's Jessica, and thanks for joining us on the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. It's so good to be with you for another episode. I am so excited to share with you my conversation with Sadie Sabin today, or you might know her better as simply Sadie Jane in the online world. She is an individual who is an extraordinary mom. In addition, she went through an extraordinary weight loss where she regained power and control and joy in her life once again. And as she sought to lose those pounds, she also found self-love along the way. And so today we're talking not only about losing weight and looking good, we are talking about what's within you, the power that's within you to love yourself regardless of your shape or size, but to truly do those things that you know will make you your best self. And that is what our focus is today. She is so encouraging towards other women to find their own best selves as well, and helping them to realize they have the courage to do that. They can start today to be their best self. It is a message I love and I endorse, and you're just going to love our conversation. Sadie's amazing, and you're going to see why. So let's get to it with Sadie Sabin. All right, I want to welcome Sadie to the show. Hi, Sadie.
Hi.
How's it going?
So good. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, thanks for being on the show. This is so fun. I know that so many people already know who you are, but for people that you're not currently on their radar, they're going to be so glad to know you today, just like I am. So thanks for sharing your story.
Well, I love what you're doing here on this podcast. I think the more we can help and embrace motherhood and support each other, the better. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Well, for people that may not know you, where am I speaking to you from? And will you just give a little background on who you are, Sadie?
Yeah. So I'm currently living in Salt Lake City. I'm from Idaho, little country, backwoods a little bit, rodeoed in high school, grew up on a ranch. So I'm from Idaho. I met my husband in BYU, Idaho. I graduated with my nursing degree, and I met him while I was in nursing school. And we kind of settled our family there for 5-6 years. And then my husband got a job with a company here, and we moved here 2 years ago. So
awesome.
We moved here with our two kids, and I am currently 8 months pregnant.
Yay! Man, yeah. The last 2 months of pregnancy feel like the entire duration of the pregnancy. Don't you think? Like, those days are just so long and slow. And then the people start texting and calling, being like, are you still pregnant, in those last few weeks? And you're like, don't you think you would know if I was not pregnant? I'll let you know.
I had probably 5 people at my church on Sunday ask me if it was time. And I'm like, oh, no, I have 4 weeks left, but thanks.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out, that I look about done. I love it. Well, I'm really excited to talk with you not only about your health journey, but also just your journey in self-acceptance and self-love and how you've evolved as a person and as a mom. So let's dive more into that. Let's go back to the early days. You were previously a labor and delivery nurse, which I think is so awesome because, I mean, anybody that's been through childbirth knows those nurses, to have a great nurse can totally change your birth experience,
absolutely,
in my opinion. And so you just seem like the most positive, compassionate, you know, can-do person. And so to have you by their side must be so reassuring. But you don't do that anymore, which is a bummer. But that's okay. But you did it for a time, which is great. What what was your favorite thing about being a labor and delivery nurse?
You know, okay, so when I was really young, my mom was an LPN, and she had 8 kids. And she raised 8 kids on her own for a few years when my parents divorced. And I remember always looking up to her, thinking, I want to be a nurse. And I've always had a desire, something within me, to heal and help. And I remember going on the playground and like running up to kids if they got hurt and being like, it's okay, my mom's a nurse, I'll help you. And it, like, people were so weirded out. But I never had a fear of going up to strangers or sharing myself with people or anything. So I think it kind of carried on throughout my life and my childhood. When I struggled with things, when my mom remarried, her husband, my stepdad, now had 6 kids, and So there's 14 of us all together.
Wow.
And it was kind of a broken home situation as far as when my mom was single, and when she got back together with my stepdad, it was wonderful, but it was hard with 14 kids. So I kind of felt like I was given that gift as far as healing and helping, because it helped me survive the years of feeling alone and independent growing up. And so,
yeah.
Because of that, I have always wanted to do something medical. And I kind of talked about this earlier, but I rodeoed in high school, which is like a whole nother, I feel like a whole nother life. That was like so long ago.
What event did you do?
What's that?
What event did you do? Do you like pick an event or how does that work?
Yeah. So I like roped and I like barrel raced and I like did everything. I was like full on, like my friends and I would drive like 6-8 hours to like these immature pro circuits. So just like, I know it was,
amazing. Crazy. I've never met a real rodeo star.
Yeah. I was actually supposed to go in college on a rodeo scholarship to Utah State. And then I ended up deciding to go to BYU Idaho for animal science and switching it up. So my dream was like, oh, I'm going to go to Penn State and I'm going to be a vet and I'm going to blah, blah, blah. And then I got to BYU Idaho, which was the best decision I could have made. And instead of animal science, I was like, you know what? I actually think I want to go into nursing. So instead of doing like animal healing, quote unquote, I decided to go into nursing. And like I said, it was the best thing I could have ever, ever, ever done. And it kind of, started defining me more and more. And I was like, wow, this is like what I want to do. I want to help and heal people. So when I graduated, I actually randomly, blessed day, got a job straight into labor and delivery, which never, ever happens.
Wow.
And I like loved it immediately because I wanted actually to be a lifelike ER nurse. I was like, I want like the drama and the adrenaline. But it was great because little did I know that labor was just that. It was like so intense. It was so much like adrenaline and intensity and, you know, its own critical care unit and in itself. So,
yeah.
So sorry, that was like a long.
No, that is such a cool background. You have like the most unique, like twist and turned upbringing and background. I love it. But it like, I like that you never like clung too tightly to what you thought you were supposed to be doing or what you thought your life was going to look like. And you kind of let it unfold as it would. And so there's still like the underpinning of like your goals were always the same, that healing goal, that helping goal. But yeah. You allowed it to just unfold as it would. And I think that's really beautiful.
Well, it's so interesting as I think back, especially the last couple of years when I learned about my self-love journey. I think back to my childhood a lot. And I think back to like what has helped and healed me and what made me so broken throughout all of those years of my life. And I think the only thing that I can think of that was so certain about my life and about what I wanted was that I wanted to help people, which is really what's gotten me into what I do now, which is as I'm a fitness and lifestyle blog. But anyway, so yeah, I loved labor and delivery. I did it for 5 years, full-time nights. So I was like a delusional mom hot mess. I mean, it was rough. Those night nurses are incredible. And
yes.
I mean, it's just, and you don't realize it until you're in it. And I think I lost a couple years of my life because it was so unhealthy.
Yeah.
But it was the most incredible thing. And to answer your question about the best part for me was I found the power that women have that I had never, and I had known because my mom was the most incredible hero in my opinion and in my life, raising 8 kids on her own. And she, you know, never gossiped and she was always strong-headed and she was always, you know, fighting for us. And yet I missed a connect as far as motherhood and my mom, because I never really strived to become a mother. That wasn't something that, of course, I kind of always knew that I was going to be like part of the plan, but it wasn't something that I like looked up to as like a hero as far as motherhood. It was more like a doctor or a nurse. And it was just because of lack of knowledge, I think, for a long time. And my life completely changed and my view on women was expounded to like this extreme point where I was like, oh my gosh, look how incredible. It was just the most incredible job And I feel lucky every single day that I got those experiences with those beautiful women. And wow, women are incredible. And it was just amazing to be able to be a part of that and to help and to see so many beautiful lives come into the world. And also see, I always tell people it's like the worst and the best job ever, because there were some really awful, sad things that I had to experience with these beautiful moms, and these beautiful moms had to experience. But it's just incredible what you see when you're experiencing or when you're a part of that.
Absolutely. And I think childbirth in particular, it is the most vulnerable position you can ever be in. And then it's also the strongest position. And so I think that juxtaposition is such the story of our life as a mom, right? Yeah. I mean, the more vulnerable we can be with ourselves, with our kids, with our spouse, with each other, that's really when we're also the strongest, because we're just showing those cracks and those vulnerabilities and those weaknesses, but like we're able to be bolstered in that and like create a beautiful product. I mean, isn't that just the definition of motherhood?
Motherhood, yeah. And
in life,
And how sad is it that that isn't shown as much? Like our vulnerability, we get so guarded and we get so nervous to show that. And yet we are, as women, we are made to create and be vulnerable and be so close to God.
Yeah.
And in labor, I feel like it's the closest point.
Yes.
For me. and then it's like you get home and you're a mom, and then you get these insecurities, and then you get these doubts and these fears about everything, about the way you parent, about the way that you carry yourself, about the way that you talk to people. And I feel like a light went on when I was able to experience and see firsthand the courage and strength that those mothers possessed, and then see firsthand in myself the lack of courage and strength that I possessed. And so it was like they were healing me without me even realizing it, and they really were the reason why I started my journey.
Wow. Yeah. So let's go back to that time of early motherhood for you. Tell me about who Sadie was as a person at that time that you became a mom for the first time.
Yeah.
What did that look like?
It's so funny because I talk a little bit about my childhood and how I when I got married, I felt like I thought that my scars from childhood would heal. Mm-hmm. And I felt like everything would be fine. I got married. I have a husband. I'm fine. You know, quote unquote, I'm fine. You know, you get into this point when you're a young mother and you're sacrificing your body and your whole self that you can't fake it anymore. And you see who you really are, and it's scary. And then you're like, okay, I can't do this. Like this, there's something's got to change. And I didn't know who I was back then. And it's funny, talking as far as fitness is related, I was always like athletic, quote unquote, in high school. And I loved being active, but I never was able to like look at myself in the mirror and first of all, truly love myself. And second of all, try to improve myself on a healthy level, not just, you know, losing weight, but also nutrition. And so I think I got to the point specifically after my second. So I had my little girl Reagan, and then my two are 20 months apart. So
wow.
I remember one night I was breastfeeding Baylor, and I was also, I had taken maybe 2 months off of work and I was about ready to go back. I may have already gone back to work. So I just felt like completely, and I was, at that point I was primary president of my church, and I just felt complete, like there was just nothing left for me.
Yeah.
I was so spread out. And I remember breastfeeding him and feeling so exhausted and feeling almost worthless. Like, what am I doing this for? Why am I doing all this? Like, and I looked down and I didn't like what I saw as far as my body, and I wasn't treating it healthily, and I wasn't talking to it in a healthy way, and I wasn't feeding it healthy foods. And I just got emotional thinking about what I did as a person. I thought, what am I doing to myself when I'm sitting and talking to these patients who come and deliver these babies, and I'm their support guide, and I'm telling them things that I should be telling myself. And I remember so vividly, because it was such an eye-opening to me as far as this has to stop. Like no one's going to be helping you. Like you don't have a nurse at your side, Sadie, like no one's going to help you change your life, but you. So that was really like such a pivotal point. And that's kind of where my journey started.
And so let's talk about that self-talk. So it's one thing to be too busy to exercise or feel like you're too busy to exercise. You are too busy to make healthy choices. You feel too spread thin and you're doing everything for everybody else and there's just not enough time for you. That's one thing, the outside. But yeah. There's something vicious that goes on, especially in new moms when your hormones are all wackadoo.
Yeah, totally.
But even beyond that, just as women, the self-talk. Where did that self-talk come from for you? And what was the monologue that you were telling yourself, if we can really go there?
Yeah, absolutely. I know, because for a very long time, my whole life, I didn't feel good enough. And that really, really rang true when I became a mother, because I would go to bed and I'd think about all the things I did wrong, and then I would completely beat myself up about it. And it stemmed from when my dad left when I was very young, and I always felt like he left because I was never good enough for him. Mm. And because of that, I had related feelings of sadness or doubt with lack of self-worth throughout my whole childhood, subconsciously, not knowing I was doing it. I learned this a couple years ago when I went through a lot of hypnotherapy, but going back now to like my old early spouts of being a young mother, it was almost to the point where I was like such at a breaking point that it just got worse and worse. And then I was relating that to my motherhood instincts and to my motherhood or into my mothering habits with my kids. And so it was literally, I would look at myself in the mirror and I didn't like who I was. I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like anything I did. It was very, and it wasn't even that it was something that somebody was saying. It was all very internal.
Let me stop you really quick. Yeah. So what do you think other people were seeing when they looked at you at that time? So you looked in the mirror and there was no self-love. There was no approval of yourself. You were just beating yourself up. What do you think other people were thinking of you?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I'd go to work and I was a charge nurse and I loved what I did, and I'd get doctors that would, you know, congratulate me, or nurses or colleagues. We'd like talk about, you know, the good things, and I knew they thought I was a good nurse. And my calling, for example, like I worked really hard on my calling and I got compliments on that. And my kids would go to bed and they'd be sleeping through the night and they were smiling and laughing. Everything clued in, and even my husband and his words of affirmation. Everything that was given to me was clued into stuff that was like, you're doing it right, Sadie.
Right.
You're doing it right. You're figuring it out. But it's so funny how no matter how many outside sources you get as far as compliments, love, if you don't love yourself, nothing's going to matter.
Yes. And that's why I wanted to point that out, because I had a feeling that's what you were going to say. So many times we are just dying on the inside, and to the world we're putting out this facade that we're fine. We're fine. We're fine.
Yep.
And actually, people are thinking we're more than fine because we're doing it all. And we have our hand in so many buckets, and we're getting compliments. But that inability to let those compliments like ring true in our head or supersede the negative conversation in our own head. I mean, this is just ringing so true for me, Sadie. Like, this is exactly how I have felt about myself for so, so long as well. And it's like when my husband tells me you're beautiful, I don't believe him.
Do you believe it? Exactly.
I don't.
And then you ask for it more and more. And then you're like, oh, honey, thanks. But, you know, I could have done a little bit better today. It's incredible, because we think about our childhood, or we think about how we were raised, or even how we were schooled. So think back to elementary school. When you wanted, or even like a sport that you did in high school, if you wanted to improve, in order to improve, people pointed out your faults. Mm. And they pointed out, okay, this is it. They weren't like, you know what, your 3-point basket shot is amazing. Amazing. Let's work on your free throw. Most of the time that wasn't the case, right?
Sure.
Most of the time it was, you're imperfect. This is the problem. Let's fix this. Instead of, no, you're perfect. You are beautiful the way you are. You are perfect, but let's improve on something. I learned, like when I was going through this healing process and I actually didn't learn this self-love healing process until after I lost all the weight, and I searched and searched throughout this fitness journey to find what I was missing. And I thought, oh my gosh, okay, another pant size lost will give me what I was wanting.
Mm-hmm.
and more compliments and before and after pictures and this Instagram and more followers and all this stuff. And I was still seeing blank in front of my face, in front of the mirror. I was not seeing or getting what I wanted. And I was like, well, I think I was like, okay, first of all, it comes from me. And going back to what I was saying, as far as like, think back to our childhood, we beat ourselves up because that's literally how we learned to improve ourselves.
Interesting. I've never thought of it like that, but you're so right. Yes, it is. It is.
And it's so destructive. And I don't think anybody realizes it because that's what we've been doing our whole entire life. Back to Adam and Eve, back to, like, you think back to the first people on earth, and if they improve on something or if they want to improve, and it's almost hard to wrap it around your head because you're thinking, okay, so, but how can I improve without fixing the faults? But it's mm-hmm. not even that. It's the mentality of thinking of you as a perfect person and you as an amazing soul, and then working on things to improve that, because you mm-hmm. can improve perfection. People think perfect as literally like this glass perfect round case, and that's not the definition of perfect in my mind. Yeah. And it's not, I have chosen to see the definition of perfect as my freckled skin, my stretch marks on my stomach, you know, maybe my crooked eyes, my thin hair. You can choose your definition of perfection. And once you realize that and really believe it for yourself, nothing will hold you back and nothing will give you more satisfaction than that feeling that you feel. But it takes a long time to get there.
Absolutely. And it took you a long time to realize you were already enough. Like, you kept thinking, okay, down a pant size. Okay, yes. Once I'm this size, once I'm this weight, once yep. I'm this, once I'm this, or once I get this, then I will be happy. But I've been doing so much research and I'm listening to podcasts lately about putting yourself in a good space before the thing right. that you're waiting for. You know, right. So especially when it's like, okay, when my child is sleeping through the night, then I will feel rested. Right. Or right. once I just moved to a new place. And so once I have friends, then I will be happy. And I was kind of in that mindset where I'm waiting yes. for that thing, whatever it yes. is. You know, anybody can fill in the blank. Everyone's waiting for something all the time. Like, that is the nature of life.
Yes.
But the beauty of life, the beauty of belief in a higher power, the right. beauty of believing you're enough is that what you have today can give you truly all the happiness, all the joy, all the self-acceptance that you need. Does it mean we shouldn't want friends? Does it mean we shouldn't want to lose weight eventually to be more healthy? Right. Does it mean that we shouldn't have fitness goals? No, not at all. But there's a difference between setting those goals for the point of feeling like then yes. I will be happy or then I will be enough.
Yes.
The difference between that and today I am enough.
And you hit it right on the head, Jess, because we do not realize how powerful we are as beings and yeah. our minds are. We think about the things that come out of our mouths. We think it's hard. We think it's harsh, the things that people say, and it affects us. Think about our subconscious mind and think about what it's thinking and generating every time your words come out of your mouth. And every time you say, I can't, I won't, I couldn't, I shouldn't, all those different negative affirmations, every time you do that, your body and your brain is registering that as a negative thought. Mm-hmm. And that is why we've literally transformed our brains into negativity. And that's why we as moms have such a hard time loving ourselves, because we're constantly trying to release the negative. And yet, because of that, we are contradicting ourselves and filling our heads with negativity. And so if we realized how powerful our minds really were, we would be releasing and manifesting things and be and manifesting especially happiness. And exactly what you said, Jessica, when you said we would already be happy in where we are. And that is the key. Finding mm-hmm. happiness and perfection in where you are. And it only comes from manifesting, which means really letting it out there in the universe, putting it out there. And I'm getting all hippie on you, but.
No, that is exactly like what's been resonating with me lately. So I love the words you're using.
Absolutely. And I actually do a few different meditation exercises, but meditating and manifesting and sharing that with yourself and with your soul. say, like you said, for example, if I had more friends, okay, so manifest that you're going to find friends and it'll happen.
Yes.
I wish I could feel pretty today. Well, look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that you're beautiful and you'll feel it.
Right.
It's literally all, and I wish I had known that before I started my fitness journey. Unfortunately, I learned that way longer down the road than I wish I had.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that I learned what I did when I did. I mean, I feel like everything happens for a reason. And I just did it a little bit in a little bit more of a backwards way, which is fine.
But that's why I like your story, is because the things you're talking about are not just what you've researched and what you've learned through study. You are your own research. And so you've learned the hard way in some ways, and you've learned in beautiful ways that only could have come from your own life experience in other ways. And so let's talk about that. So when you went from seeing yourself as not beautiful, having weight to lose, being spread too thin, and then you started being proactive, you use CrossFit, right? You're a CrossFit person?
Yeah, so my brother-in-law was at school for exercise science, and he got me into CrossFit immediately.
Okay.
And I did that a little bit before I had got pregnant with Baylor, and then I did it a little bit while I was pregnant, and then I got really into it after I had Baylor, because I had, you know, that affirmation or that light bulb went on, and I was like, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna change my body. So I just went crazy as far as nutrition and fitness. I went strict paleo, which is like the caveman diet. I was just determined, and that's the thing about me, is I may not, like, at that point in my life, I may not have loved myself, but man, I was a determined soul, and I've always been that way, you know?
Yeah.
So I went strict paleo, and then I did CrossFit hardcore, and I just made it work, and I just, like, and I got a little obsessive and a little excessive, and what was crazy about this, okay, so let's talk more about this fitness journey. What was crazy about it is, as I was losing the weight and as I was transforming my body and as I was sharing all of this stuff on Instagram and blah, 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 I literally would look in the mirror and I wouldn't see myself as who I was. I would see the heavier. I would see the ugly. I would see not – I literally had body dysmorphia, and I had that for a good couple years after I lost the weight with Baylor. So it was interesting, because it was like my mind was playing tricks on me. It was like I was trying so hard, and I saw the scale, and it was going lower and lower, but I still saw a broken person. And I was like, I don't get it. Like, what is wrong with me? Like, I would see a picture of myself, and I'd be like, wow, am I really that skinny? But I didn't see it in myself.
Wow.
And I thought that that's all I wanted. I literally thought that that skinniness would bring happiness.
Wow.
I had no idea that it didn't until I moved to Utah, actually, and I started getting modeling gigs, and I started getting all these opportunities, because there's just so many great opportunities in Utah, so many different companies, so many great people that you can collaborate with. And I got the lowest I've ever been as far as my weight, and I was so unhealthy, I was so unhappy, I was so impatient with my kids, and I still didn't see. I literally would still look in the mirror and see someone heavy, and so it was like a lack of self-doubt, because I would go on these photo shoots and I would see all these beautiful models, and I was like, I'm not a model. I'm just a mom with stretch marks. I'm like 5'4". And I would, like, listen to my negativity that I would fuel. And so I'm not fueling my body in a healthy way. I'm not fueling my body emotionally in a healthy way. I'm lacking everything. So it was like I was at the very bottom of bottom, way worse than when I was breastfeeding Baylor, and I thought, oh my gosh, I have to fix myself.
Wow.
It was like I had lost myself completely in this journey of fitness, and I had nowhere to go. So I was telling my sister about this one day, and I was crying to her because things were affecting me that I didn't want to affect me. And she actually found, by literally divine intervention, one of her friends had gone to a hypnotherapist that was here. And I ended up going to him, long story short. And he changed my life, because he taught me that the only way to see yourself differently, to love yourself, to change your life, is to literally change it yourself, as in subconsciously and consciously talk to yourself in a positive way. And it was like,
what a novel idea.
Exactly. It was like, you've got to be kidding me. My whole life, and at that point I was 25 25, 26. And I was like, all of these years, and it started with me. All of these years of suffering when I was a child. And it was funny because I was like, if I had only known, which obviously you don't when you're an adolescent.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how if you give yourself the power of healing yourself, nothing can stop you. And it's still, it's hard every day. I mean, it doesn't get easier, but you found the key to literally conquering your life and conquering happiness. People constantly are like, when am I going to find happiness? Where am I going to find it? It only starts and begins and ends with you and your subconscious. And so because I learned that, and it's still, like I said, a journey every single day, but because I learned that, I'm not going to get emotional. I'm like eight months, you know, I'm like pregnant, but because I learned that, I saw love within myself for the first time. And I saw myself for who I really was. And
that was before even practicing it for long term, right? It's just realizing that that was within you all along. Realizing that.
It definitely was. Yeah. First of all, the realization was like, okay, it's funny because when you realize it initially, you're like, okay, we'll see. We'll see if we can believe that. But through actually those hypnotherapy exercises, every time I finished with one of them, it was really healing. Mm. But I was able to use those practices and take them into my daily life, which is really what's been healing me throughout all of these years. And it helps every single day. And there's still doubts. But yes, like realizing that is a huge help. And then starting the exercises. So what I would do is every day I would wake up and I'd look in the mirror, and I still do this. And I look at myself in the mirror, and I don't look at my body. I look at my eyes, and it's really uncomfortable at first because it's like, when do you actually, other than putting on makeup, when do you look at yourself, your soul, your subconscious mind, your inner self? And I told her that I loved her, and I told her that she's beautiful, that she's strong, and that she's enough. And I would do it over and over, and a lot of the times I didn't believe it, but something started to change within me, and I started feeling happier, and I started feeling better about myself. And I wasn't talking as negatively. I consciously tried not to use can't and tried and
mm-hmm. should.
Mm-hmm. Yep, those negative things. I constantly tried every day. Not tried. See, I just did it. I just said tried. There is no tried. That's not even the vocabulary. Because if you did something, then you did it.
Yep.
I woke up every morning and said a prayer of gratitude. I firmly believe, like I said, remember how we talked about manifestation. If you're manifesting gratitude will come. It's all about this attraction, these atoms in the air, this energy. People want to be attracted to what they're attracted to. So it's like if you're attracting or if you're putting off positivity will come back. Mm-hmm. And I know this firsthand because I've done this for, you know, so many years, and that's the only thing that's going to bring happiness. Whether it's I'm 8 months pregnant and uncomfortable, whether it's I'm going through a really hard time, my husband doesn't have a job, whatever it is, you can find happiness anywhere if you manifest it. So I would start with a prayer of gratitude, and then I would meditate every morning, and I would say things focusing on my breathing, and I would say things like, I can do hard things, or you are so beautiful today, or I can have a beautiful day. Whatever, it's literally just manifesting. Literally, like, what an interesting concept to just say what you want and then it happens and you feel it, you know?
Absolutely. And it's not saying, like, I really want enough money for such and such, or I really want to lose weight. Or like, those are not the affirmations that you're telling yourself. I can lose weight. It is deep within your soul developing that awareness and that character and releasing that. And then all those other things, all those will be byproducts because the things that you want will come to fruition. The friends, the weight loss, the money, the whatever it is, the shiny things will come, but that's not the point. It's before that. Okay, I love this.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, when I realized that it wasn't about, like you just said, it wasn't about what I looked like in the mirror. It wasn't about the pant size. It was about how I felt. And I had missed that for so long in my fitness journey that once I found it, I was like, wow, it's good to see you, Sadie. It's good to finally have you.
Oh, my gosh.
And
wow.
And it was just, it was really interesting because for so long, once I lost the weight, I wasn't going to have kids anymore. I was too terrified of the person I had become when I gained so much weight. I did not want to gain more weight. I did not. I really felt like it was like my captor. Like I really felt a prisoner to weight. And I was terrified. I wasn't willing to sacrifice, really bottom line, I wasn't willing to sacrifice my body again, but because I was in such a negative headspace, and I had no idea that's not what it was about. Like, I didn't, even after two kids. And once I was able to find myself love, it was like, not only I was ready, but, like, my kids in heaven were like, it's time, Mom. Like, it's time, I've been waiting. And that's why, like, it's been so beautiful to get pregnant again, because I was in such a beautiful mindset. And I know that I'm grateful that I waited because I'm just grateful for the whole journey because I choose to be grateful for it.
Yeah.
But I'm so grateful that I found it at the point that I did, because I know, you know, this baby that's coming into our life is meant to be, obviously, and everything happens for a reason. But I'm just grateful that I found that headset space in at least a good enough time for it to not be too late.
No. And think of all the years you have left. I mean, totally. God willing, that you'll be able to thrive with this mindset.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's worth the effort right now so you can have the entire duration of your life in this space. That's beautiful.
Thank you. It's really been interesting, and this whole pregnancy has been different. And I've learned to be comfortable with uncomfortable. And I want to be really clear. I think I think it's important that we talk about happiness and that we can find happiness, but it's also important to be comfortable with being sad. Like life isn't always meant to be happy, and things are uncomfortable and things are hard and things are sad, and pregnancy is beautiful, but it's hard, and it's okay for it to be, and it's okay for you to have days that you just maybe don't feel as wonderful. You can still have joy. Like this pregnancy has been so beautiful, and I've gained just as much weight, but it's been on me differently. Like I carry it differently, and I feel differently, and I'm still working out 4 times a week, and I'm still eating really, really, really well. And yet my body just does it. It just gains weight. And yet I feel beautiful, and it's okay. And it's hard. For sure, it's hard. I'm not going to say for one second that it's easy, but it's okay that it's hard. And I am so grateful for this hardship, and I'm so grateful for this pregnancy. And I'm sure it's going to be hard to lose the weight after I have this baby, but I will do it over and over again because I know that I can, and because I love my body. And that really is all that it comes down to.
Wow. That is amazing. And I love that you pointed out, the happiness is not just about the smile on your face and the facade that everything's fine, because that's not life. Life is not fine all the time. But sometimes there is joy that comes from going through something hard, even in the midst of it, when you realize the refining that's going on, right? And so when you've been through enough things in life where you've seen this was hard, I felt these terrible, horrible feelings of despair, but I came to the other side. Then the next time you go through it, you have that hope for that light at the end, right? So hopefully you can find the light even before the end of the trial the next time, because you know in that abiding presence that God will see you through and that you can get through as well because you've done it before. Is that kind of how that's transpired in your mind?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you have to have the mindset that everything happens for a reason, and you have to be happy with this journey, because I think it's so important to be like that, because I think some people get so caught up with not being happy. And I'm like, that's not the point here. It's embracing. Like my day as a mom, and I know you feel the same way, are always roller coasters.
Yeah.
You wake up, you feel happy, and then your son spills raw eggs on the floor. And you're like, this really sucked, but I'm going to clean it up and then I'm going to get over it. And it's really just embracing and graciously taking your journey as a mother and as a woman of this earth.
Yeah.
Because that's what this is about. This is about ebbing and flowing, and this is about. And there are times My son just got into food coloring twice last week and ruined our food.
I saw that, Sadie. Oh my gosh, I felt for you.
And it was awful. It was, first of all, I Snapchatted it so that I wouldn't throw him out the window.
And then you're like, I'm being watched. I need documentation so I don't kill him. Yeah.
Exactly. And then I got on my hands and knees with my ginormous belly and I scrubbed the floors. And then I sat on there on the floors and ate cinnamon bears and cried because I was like so tired. And it was fine. And then I was done and I laughed and I'm still annoyed because I walked through those wood floors and they're ruined. But there's like, what am I going to do about it? Am I going to be sad about it for forever? No. Like that, I do not wish to have sadness in my life, which is there. Why? Ultimately, I wish to have happiness. This is why I start my mornings every day with meditation. And sometimes it doesn't work. And sometimes it does. And when it does, it's beautiful. And when it doesn't, I learn a lesson and I get better for the next time.
Right. And if you had made a mistake that equates to spilling food coloring all over the place and ruining something that seems irreplaceable and a mark that will last forever, would you want somebody holding that over your head and holding that grudge? Absolutely not. And so many times when our kids make those mistakes and those choices that do have long-lasting consequences, maybe on the physical things in our lives,
right?
You know, we just kind of have to put ourselves in their shoes and just offer them, try at least, to offer up that grace and that love that we would want to receive if we messed up. Because we have messed up and we will continue to mess up.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Absolutely. That's amazing. Well, how has this changed your motherhood? Like you said, when you were losing weight, but you were in a negative headspace and you were snapping at your kids and you weren't your best self as a mom. How are you different as a mom today, Sadie, with your kids, knowing what you know now?
Yeah, I think everything's different. I look at them differently. It's funny because I look at my daughter and I'll look at her when she's asleep and I think, I would never want you to look at yourself the way that I did at you or the way that I did to me.
Right.
And I've always been really protective of that with them and flooded them with compliments and love. But now it's funny because it's not so much of an outward difference, it's way more of an inward. I'm not going to bed and I'm not feeling as guilty, or I'm not as snappy or impatient because I'm feeling like I'm losing my head or I'm losing control of things. It's like now I can enjoy it and embrace it. And I think they feel that too. I think they feel a little bit more of like the relaxation of mom as far as embracing myself and embracing the motherhood in general as well.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens with this baby, like, because it's been, you know, a couple years, but my kids were like 2 and 4 when I decided to change this mindset of mine. Mm-hmm. So now having that grace with the baby, I'm really excited to have that and to see if I can be graceful with myself, which I will.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to allow myself to be graceful, you know, while I'm breastfeeding, when I'm getting my body back, and while I'm slowly changing and loving myself through that journey. Because that's, I think postpartum can be really difficult. And I'm excited for that journey.
I love that. And you know it's not going to be easy. You know, and I think that's really beautiful, and it really testifies to where you're at, that you can look forward to a season that you know is gonna be very challenging. You know, those sleepless nights and the uncertainty of a newborn and just the stresses of dividing your time among 3 children instead of 2. I mean, it's a challenge, but to be able to approach that, like this, I mean, that's been the theme of this whole talk, right? That getting yourself in the space before that challenge and before that outcome and realizing you're enough today, you know enough, you're good enough, you're smart enough, you're wonderful enough, that you can have that confidence in yourself and positivity in your mind that you can take on that challenge and feel really ready.
Yeah.
As much as you can with a newborn.
Yeah, absolutely. And I try to take parenthood one day at a time.
Yeah.
I try to take motherhood one day at a time because that's how I allow grace for myself. And some days are better than others, but at least now I have the self-confidence that I know within myself that I know what I'm like, I can do this.
You know what you're doing. Even when you don't know specifically what you're doing, you have confidence to do something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it's the food coloring on the floor and, you know, I mean, we make mistakes. I still make lots of mistakes, but I'm also so much more gracious. And I just think that's so important as mothers, to be so gracious with yourself, because we don't know what we're doing. We've never done this before. We're all just trying to do this one day at a time. So if we can just try to be more gracious with ourselves, it's all that matters.
I love that. And I really think, Sadie, that one of the reasons that your blog has become so popular and so many people are following along in your journey and reaching out to you, one of the reasons that is not because people are interested to see your pictures on Instagram, your before and afters, not because of the successful weight loss that you've had, not because yes, people are curious about what you're doing to lose weight and the exercises you're doing and what workout gear you're wearing. That's of interest to people. But right. I think the reason that you, above any of the other weight loss stories or fitness professionals out there, are registering and resonating with people is because of what we've talked about today. This podcast hasn't been about how you lost the weight, Sadie. It is about how you've become your best self, how you have learned to love yourself. And not only is this just, well, Sadie was able to do it, that's really good for her. It's about that we can all do that.
Yes.
And I feel like this conversation for me this morning is just really boosting me to think, I can do that. I can choose to do that today. And it's not going to, you know, yes, I'll get better over time as I practice it, but I can also feel it today. I can feel those positive feelings and absolutely. I can change that self-talk today, like this moment.
Yes. Thank you.
That's
first
huge.
Of all, thank you for saying that. That was very sweet. And second of all, it is so important, Jessica, we have to start looking at ourselves and loving ourselves today. You're right. So many people think it's so much work. It is not. Yeah. We do little steps every day and we can love ourselves. And ultimately, like, you are so right as far as my blog, like I wish, my hope, my dream, and I will get there someday, is that every mother can follow my steps as far as what I've learned. And they know that they can come to me as far as a place to come and see that there's hope and that they can learn and we can lean on each other. And I just want every mother, I so wish every mother just saw the worth that she had. Mm-hmm. I so wish that they knew that as moms, especially, they can transform themselves. They are strong. They are courageous. They are beautiful. And they can transform themselves into beings that they never thought that they could be. Mm. And I wish and I hope, and that's why, like, I'm so grateful that you had me on this podcast, because I hope that all of your listeners can really feel the passion that I have for that and find it within themselves and know that they can come, you know, to my social media for that, because that's really my mission. My mission on this crazy social media planet is to share with every mother, and not just moms, women in general, and even men, people need to know their self-worth. And I hope by even just a glimmer of hope that I can help people with that.
Well, now I'm crying. it's true.
Aww.
It's true, Sadie. It is. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for being vulnerable along your weight loss journey to come to that and to allow your platform to be transformed like that. You could have stuck with just the weight loss part, right? I'm just going to model the gear. I'm just going to give you tips on how to get your body better. But you are giving hope to getting our mind better.
Yeah, it's easier. It's easier to post pretty pictures.
It's
easier to just be like, you can do it, get up every day.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be why I am on this earth and why I feel so strongly about sharing my journey with this. And I feel like, I really, truly feel like all of the trials that I've been through in my life, all the different things that I went through and all the different things that I've learned were meant to share. And that's why I've had courage and wanted to share my life. People are weirded out sometimes why I share so much, but I will not let the things that I've learned and the things I've learned to heal myself go quietly. Like, yeah. I have to share them. And I am grateful that I had the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, you're amazing. And Extraordinary Moms is not about, look at Sadie, she's doing everything right. That's what makes her extraordinary. No, you're extraordinary because of your vulnerability and willingness to share and your constant intention to becoming your best self. That's what an extraordinary mom does, and to be the best mom that you can be every single day.
Absolutely.
Well, I always ask my guests one final question, and it's kind of everything that we've talked about, but maybe in one little tiny package with a bow, you can answer. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
Oh my gosh, my pre-motherhood self. That love, self-love, is all you need. That self-love is all you need. Really, it's all you need. And I wish everybody knew that.
Yeah. Whew. I loved it. I love this so much, Sadie. I feel so connected to you, and I think that so many people who also have never met you, who followed along in your journey, feel the same. So I credit you for building that connection with the people that follow along with you. It really shows a lot about who you are, Sadie. I'm really inspired by you, and I know that my day is going to be better because of this talk.
Thank you.
Where can people follow along online if they don't already?
Yeah, I have a website, simplysadiejane.com, and then I'm really active on Instagram, and I have a Facebook and Pinterest. You can find that all, but if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's easier to kind of get a day-to-day synopsis of what I do, and it's just Simply Sadie Jane. And yeah, there
That's
I
awesome.
Am.
And I'll link to all of that in the show notes on extraordinarymomspodcast.com so people can head over to there and find you and follow along with you. And we can't wait to see your baby coming along so soon. Good luck. Enjoy these last weeks of pregnancy with your two other children. And just, we're excited to hear your great news in the upcoming months. This is going to be awesome to see this new chapter of how that unfolds for you. I know it's going to be a beautiful life. Thank you, Sadie.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Jessica.
It's been my pleasure. Have a great day.
You too, babe.
Bye. Whew. That was a good one. Wasn't that a good one? Sadie is so amazing, and I want to thank her for sharing her motherhood journey today. She's extraordinary, not just because of what she's been able to accomplish in her life and the weight loss and the evolution of her positive thinking, but just because of the intention behind it and her ability to think that highly of herself. I challenge you to think highly of yourself today because you are enough. You are exactly the way that God made you for a reason. And if you are stifling any part of yourself, or if you are trying to be like anybody else, you are not fully utilizing the talents and the gifts and the beauty that you in particular have been given. So be you today. I want to thank Sadie. As always, you can follow me on Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3, on Facebook, Extraordinary Moms Podcast, and at our website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com. You guys are the best. Thank you for subscribing on iTunes, leaving ratings and reviews. It means so much to me to see you sharing the podcast. It really just helps people to find it. Some people don't even know what a podcast is. So when you share it and show them how to listen, people are opened up to a whole new world, not just of the Extraordinary Moms podcast, but other amazing shows that are out there that can really just add something to your life while you're multitasking, while you're driving, while you're exercising. Sometimes it's a great alternative to a book on tape or to music. I love podcasts so much. You know that. So if you haven't already shared this podcast with a friend, if you know somebody that might benefit from these conversations, help them to know about the Extraordinary Moms podcast. Help them to subscribe and show them how to listen. And then if you're newer to our community, I welcome you and I invite you to dig back into the archives because there are so many extraordinary moms that I've interviewed over the past, how many episodes? 110 episodes, 109 episodes, yeah. And I know there's something to be gained from every single one of these women. So I hope everyone has an awesome day, and I'll see you next week for another episode with another extraordinary mom. Bye.